When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the warehouse rat.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Warehouse Rats. This is episode 18. I am one of the hosts, Josh. We don't have Ricardo tonight due to some adulting and early work tomorrow for him. He was not able to make it this evening, so Ricardo, you are sincerely missed. So, in his absence, I sent out a text to see if I could have somebody come in and give me a little hand this evening. We've talked to this individual a number of times. He is the host of the Why Whiskey podcast. Also, my brother, Ian. Thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, it's Friday. But it doesn't feel like Friday because I got to work tomorrow too. So yeah.
Hell yeah! No, man, I'm with you there. I just got home yesterday from like 3 weeks in an other location doing some stuff, and every day was the same. So I honestly, you could have told me it was Tuesday, Thursday, and I would have been like, yeah, it's absolutely that day.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to jump right into the drink of the day because we are joined this evening by Why Whiskey. We decided to go with whiskey tonight, and we're going with, as of right now, my top favorite whiskey. We're drinking Buffalo Trace.
Hell yes.
Now, the place that I buy my alcohol, they had a special of it a few weeks back. Oh, no, fuck. It was longer than that. It was like a couple months back. And then they just started having it on a regular rotation. So it's like in the shelves now. And so it's like, yes. So I almost bought a couple of them right when I was there. But I was like, you know what? I'll stick with one. And I only drink it every little bit just because I want it to last. But oh, it's so good.
It's great juice. Like it is awesome whiskey that you can find at a very comparable price. So tonight I'm actually drinking. I went into Total Wine here in Massachusetts, and they had their barrel pick. So they went and they picked a barrel of it. Nice. And so this is a barrel 239. And one of my other favorite liquor stores, Giorgio's, which is just down the road from Total Wine, they a couple weeks later got their barrel pick in, which is barrel number 238. So one barrel away. I'll be sipping on both of these single barrels this evening. But it is so good. It's got that classic like bourbon profile. Makes you so happy. It's their mash bill one, which is that middle of the ground, like middle of the road, like rye recipe, which kind of gives you a little bit of that spice. So there's a little bit of that tingle, but for the most part, it's just that sweet, smooth, beautiful bourbon that just makes you want to sing a song,
right?
Or two.
No, a buddy of mine, he had heard that I was starting to drink more whiskey. And he's like, hey, he's like, if you try anything, try Buffalo Trace. He's like, if you see it anywhere, grab it. And he's like, just do it. So I remember, I think I was picking up alcohol for the podcast, and I was like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is what he had mentioned, and I haven't looked back since then. It's so good. So good. So.
Grab a bottle when you can, man. It's
yes,
good stuff.
Very good. So cheers to you, and let's get into it.
Here.
So good. All right, so Nerd Corner. It is, especially the past couple weeks, I have had the tradition of getting up very early and watching the most recent episode of The Mandalorian. So for anybody who hasn't watched the most recent episode, there are spoilers. And if you're a fan of Star Wars, major spoilers. So
huge.
Come back later. So right off the bat, first Clone Wars Rebels introduction live character yet. And oh, it's so fucking awesome. So you have the continuing story of the Mandalorian trying to get the little baby alien to his race or whatever, but he has to find more Mandalorians to do it. But then he is given the curveball of, hey, you have to find the Jedi in order to do it. And so he picks up this gal and they try to get to this planet because it's all, but of course the episode before this one was a thing of nightmares because it's space spiders, which was awful.
Oh, hated I had a hard that. Time watching that.
Right?
Every hard time. You know, I like spiders are my number one fear. You know what I mean? I'll jump out of a plane every single day, but one little motherfucking spider's come crawling across that freaking wall.
Yeah.
I am screaming like a fucking 4-year-old and running out the door. So that was a hard episode for me to watch.
And the hardest part about that was it wasn't just one size. They were like all varied in size. Then you had one that was like a fucking like monster truck size. And it's like,
it held his ship down.
Well, his ship was in pretty bad, you know.
His ship was big enough for him to walk around in it freely, right? It wasn't so much the condition of the ship. It was the size of the ship and the fact that there was a spider big enough to hold his ship down.
Right.
That's a big fucking spider.
Right.
So at that point, if I'm him, I'm literally just probably sitting in a puddle of pee and poop because I've shit myself. And, I've just given up on life altogether. That was,
A cool little tidbit about that is one of the X-Wing pilots that helped. It was, I'm going to mess up. I always mess up his last name. Dave Filoni. I think it is. He's basically the mastermind behind the Clone Wars series.
Yeah, he's also one of the directors for The Mandalorian.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw him, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So anyway, back to this episode. So he gets to this planet, and he, under false pretenses, is told, hey, you have to go to this location to find the Mandalorian. So he gets on this. Honestly, it's a decommissioned spaceship that they've turned into like a crab ship, essentially. That's the first thing I'm like, dude, it's the deadly catch in space or whatever bullshit that is. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. And
those bitches aren't in Alaska though.
So he gets turned on by these sailors, if you want to call them that, very quickly. And it was pretty shocking. I was like, this sucks. I'm like, okay, so what's going to happen? And so three Mandalorians drop down onto the deck of this ship and they just start beating the shit out of everybody. Like, and not like a pirate fight. These folks know how to fight. So they're just going hard at it. And one of them in particular has a particular helmet, and the T visor is an owl shape. Like the eyes are shaped like an owl. And immediately I think, okay, right off the top of my head, I can think of two Mandalorians that wear that kind of helmet and the colors are wrong for one of them. So it has to be this person. So I'm like, okay, if it's not this person, I'm going to be pissed because then that's a lot of misleading. And it sure as fuck enough, as soon as she took her helmet off, she has this special like headband basically that she has in the Clone Wars, and it's her. I flipped my shit. And of course, you know, I'm watching it in bed and it's early. The kids are still, I'm like, fuck yes. I'm so excited. And so the fact that they introduced this character, I was so excited. And so they get the Mandalorian to help them basically overtake an Imperial weapons ship. And this whole scene, it just furthers the point on how badass Mandalorians are. The fact,
or just how bad the stormtroopers were at marksmanship. So there's, I mean, and the one Mandalorian actually makes a reference to it. He's like, yeah, they usually can't hit the broadside of a barn. And so here's this like 4-on-40. And the only dude that takes some hits is, you know, is the Mandalorian, because he literally runs down the middle of the hallway at these dudes to freaking nuke them. And I don't think they were aiming at him. They just ricochets it.
Well, they're like, here, just, you know, start shooting and move your gun from side to side. You'll eventually hit something. But it just, and I think what made me think that it was the skill of the Mandalorians is that they weren't wasting shots. Most of the shots that they did, they were kill shots, which was so cool. And for the casual watcher, when that gal, it's like Bo-Katana, gets to the captain of this ship, and she asks him, she's like, "Where is it?" And he's like, if you have to ask the question, you already know where it is. Or no, she asks him if he has it. And he's like, yeah. If you ask the question, you already know. And for those who don't know, she's definitely talking about the Darksaber, without a doubt, because that is 100% Mandalorian lore. Like, if you have this, you basically have the right to rule Mandalore. And for a time, she did. So the fact that she's looking for it, I hope she comes back. There has to be some big fight. Has to be.
So this is it's definitely a buildup. So it was not one of those like like in and out kind of deals, right? Mm-hmm. So even in episode one, the sheriff of the town that's wearing Boba Fett's armor, right? Mm-hmm. That you could tell like he was an in and out character. There isn't going to be any more with him.
Probably not.
Right? He's not now. The old man that walks across the screen at the end of that episode.
Oh,
there's definitely. Be more from him.
I fucking hope so.
Different dude. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested to see where that comes into play.
Yes.
But it was definitely not there was way too much introduction and depth of her character mm-hmm. for her to just be a one episode and then out kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely she will come back and she will be a thing. But can we talk about the captain of the ship for a minute?
Yeah.
So Titus Welliver is the name of the actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I saw him, he was getting absolutely murked by a motorcycle club on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, because
he was the Irishman that was a double agent mm-hmm. and sold him out to the cops. And there was that big season finale where finally after this dude like killed a bunch of dudes and freaking like that. I remember watching that I was like, oh yes, he deserved to die, and he died a painful, very painful death, which was kind of satisfying for that series. But so the first time I like his face like popped up on the show today, I was sitting there with Marcus, and I'm like, oh, this son of a bitch! I'm like, he's gonna die, and he needs to die painfully. Oh, like a residual like anger from a totally different show, just looking at his face.
Nice.
Like, oh. I hate this dude. They picked a good dude to play it. But anyway, it made me chuckle. There's been some really good cameos so far this season too.
And we're only three episodes in.
Oh, I know. Like, so you had the sheriff. Mm-hmm. He played the bad guy in one of my all time favorite movies, which is The Girl Next Door. Have you seen that movie? It's about the porn star that moves next door to these three like high school friends.
Like forever ago.
Yeah. So he's the bad guy that's trying to get like the film rights back,
mm-hmm.
like trying to get back in the business and da-da-da and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, I forget what the actor's name is.
Timothy Elephant or something weird like that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, that's it. Exactly. And he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in the series Justified.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. He plays both good guy and bad guy very well.
He plays a sheriff, which was very much a callback to. And that's why a lot of people thought it was so funny, because they're like, okay, so it's like, especially that build up to his reveal was a very much Western feel. You know, he rides up into a desert town and then he goes right to the tavern and the guy says, you got to talk to the marshal. And I mean,
there's a spittoon that Baby Yoda ends up inside of.
Right?
What the fuck?
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. That was one of the first questions I had for you. Was like, how the fuck did kid get in the spittoon? Like, what?
See,
come on, man.
It's like, okay, so he can stop a mudhorn with his mind, and you're worrying about how he climbed into a pot?
his legs are 4 inches long, for fuck's sake. This thing was like 7 feet tall for him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he's just doing the waddle thing. We haven't seen him be like any dynamic moves, right? He's not Yoda flipping around the freaking cave fighting, you know,
give it time.
Windu. Oh, okay. So, I'm sure it'll be a thing.
One of I want to say it was a really cool part, but at the same time, it was frustrating because I had a feeling it was going to happen, was when Mando first mentioned the Jedi to the Mandalorians. In the Clone Wars, this particular Mandalorian, Bo, knew Ahsoka Tano, who at the time, or at least when she was brought back at the last season of Clone Wars, she wasn't technically a Jedi anymore. She was like freelance Jedi or some shit like that. But I mean, she wasn't official. She definitely wasn't official. I can't get talking about that. Otherwise, I'll talk about that all night because the last season of Clone Wars was amazing.
But let me clarify. She was an apprentice when Order 66 went down, right?
Oh, dude. No. Because even when Order 66 went down, she technically wasn't a Jedi. She was assisting the Jedi to capture and transport Darth Maul. And of course, the people who are listening to this who aren't nerds are like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? So
we'll talk about boobs and booze later.
Too. Right. So as soon as that name is dropped, I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, how much do I want to bet myself that she isn't shown in this episode? And so like, I kept watching the time, and as I'm watching, I was like, dude, they're gonna make me wait until next week. I'm like, God damn it. Because like as soon as they dropped her name, I already started to freak out. I was like, oh, this is gonna be so cool. I'm like, I can't wait. So it's because especially in that last season of Clone Wars, Ahsoka's character arc basically did a full not completion, but it definitely it made her character that much more interesting. And it definitely, I don't know.
She went like rebellion, right? Like against the order, like against the force. Like, am I remembering that correctly? Am I misremembering that?
No, she, okay. The way she left the Jedi,
right? She just walked away.
No, well, this was after she was implicated in like terrorist acts against the Republic at the time. And the fact that the Jedi did not support her, they were right there saying, "Hey, the evidence shows that you were, you know, you did this and you did that." And she's like, "Okay, but I didn't." Nobody believed her. And so at the end of it all, when she finally was cleared of all her charges and everything, she's like, "Listen," she's like, "None of you had my back." I'm paraphrasing obviously, but she basically said, "Peace, I'm out."
It's a Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, and then she just bailed. And then the Jedi had to watch her just walk away. Now, during this time after she left, you had the series Rebels come out, which that it, again, another what was intended to be a kid's show definitely evolved over time and became very much a show for the fans. And the fans are all, you know, guys my age, and they're like, oh, it's so fucking cool. So you have a moment where there's a particular episode where she's there and Darth Vader shows up. So you have Ahsoka and her old Jedi master, who is now a Sith Lord. They face off. And like, just thinking about it, I'm getting goosebumps.
That's emotional. Yeah, no, well, man.
And one thing that makes that particular scene, and it's just the start of the fight between them, is, for those who pay attention to music in movies and stuff like that, Yoda has a particular theme song. And it's very light and it's very almost peaceful and definitely representative of Yoda and especially how he lived in his last few years. They play this particular bit of music at the beginning of this fight. And the way that she lights up her lightsabers is the coolest fucking way ever. Because she's got two of them. Is she basically takes them and like she? It almost looks like she like pulls them out of each other. But like it's not like one piece. It's two pieces. But as she turns them on, she like pulls them apart. It's so cool. And then you have Vader with his boring red lightsaber just turns it on. But I'm like, it's the start of. Oh shit, it's about to go down. So it just, but then you jump ahead a couple of years where they finally released the last season of the Clone Wars after Disney Plus came out. And you have, you have her show up with before Anakin goes full Darth Vader, and they have this moment where he gives her her Jedi lightsabers back, but then he's changed the colors so they're both blue now because I think they used to be like green and yellow or both yellow. And so she's like, okay, really? And he's like, I think it's better this way, of course, because Anakin's lightsaber was blue. But the one thing about that particular episode that killed me was there's a particular regiment that she would battle with of clone troopers. And when she walked into the hangar, they were all waiting. They had painted their helmets to match her orange face with the tattooing on her face. So it was basically her face on their helmets. Like, I'm 33 years old watching a animated Star Wars show crying. I was like, get your shit together, McGlynn. It was terrible. But...
Meanwhile, your daughter's sitting next to you going, Dad, what the fuck is going on right now?
Right? It just...
your face. Clean yourself up.
Right. Clean yourself up. But no, so... actually, back to Mandalorian, because you know we're getting off track. She better show up next episode. Because if they keep drawing it out where she doesn't show up to like near the end of the season, I'm going to be super pissed. As soon as Ahsoka shows up, she needs to be there for at least two episodes. At least. If she isn't, I'm going to be mad. So
it's only three episodes in, but I kind of feel like they're setting the stage for a big fight. So it wouldn't surprise me to see her come into the season and hang out. Much like, what is her name? Who is the badass chick, the fighter chick from the first season?
Cara Dune, I think is her character name.
I forget what her character's name. Yeah, I didn't even remember her character's name, but you know, like how she had a presence like from that episode on. I think that'll be the same thing with her. I think that once they bring her in, and there's a whole sea of nerds just like yourself in reading the message boards and all that, the Reddit today, you know, that are of that same philosophy. So I think she will come in as part, and I think we'll see Bo come back.
Oh yeah,
with her clan.
A quick little tidbit about her: the actress that plays her was a huge part of Battlestar Galactica. So the fact that she has now—I
thought I recognized her somewhere. Yep.
So now the fact that she has two footholds in two major sci-fi genres, it's like, man, good for you. Because as soon as she took the helmet off, one, I think I first recognized that she was a Clone Wars character, and then I realized who the actress was. I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is so cool.
Well, Marcus, as soon as she landed on the deck, Marcus was like, oh, that's Bo, what's the rest of her name? Bo-Katan.
Yep.
And I'm like, who the hell is that? And he's like, not now, Dad.
Not now.
Yeah, no, he got, because he's much like you, you know, he's followed that whole, the Rebels and the Clone Wars and all that, the series, very much so. Mm-hmm. I can kick his ass on some fucking original trilogy shit, but,
right, there you go.
but he's got me on the Rebels and Clone Wars stuff. So he said, what's up? And I told him too, like, as soon as Mandalorian steps off his deck or off of his ship and, there's that chick in the freaking almost Jedi Knight-esque robe staring at him. Mercedes Vernado, I think is the actress's name. I was like, she's bad business. She's got more to give. And she was that other chick, the other female Mandalorian that came in. She was a badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we're gonna see all of them come back.
I hope so.
And I think the it'll be a big fight to get the Darksaber back at the end. Whether or not it's the big fight, because they may save that for a season or two later.
Right.
You know, Baby Yoda's not going anywhere, for at least another two seasons, I don't think.
The fact that they brought in the Darksaber at the end of season one, and now they're bringing in Bo-Katana is like, okay. And they, see, this is one thing that in the series that they focused a little bit on, the Mandalorian and stuff like that, and it bounced back and forth where it was either really heavy for a little bit and then it got really light and you didn't hear about it for a while, and then it just kind of kept going and going. And the fact that they're focusing on it is really cool. And I like the fact that they even explain the fact that Mando's tribe were seen as religious zealots, and they had to keep their helmet on because, of course, he was shocked. He's like, okay, you guys really aren't Mandalorians. As soon as they took their helmets off, and she's like, oh,
your shit.
she's like, oh, you're one of those guys, aren't you? You know? So, I mean, it's so cool, especially from there being no live action representation of all this awesome stuff. And now they're bringing all that shit out. And they said, hey, we've built this great universe, and with so much content to build off of, let's start doing it. And the fact that they're pulling from existing stuff is awesome. And of course, for me, I'm so excited. Every Friday morning, I go grab my cup of coffee and then I watch Mandalorian, and it's amazing. So amazing. So.
So we got shut down. The airplane we were using had some mechanical difficulties, so they needed a day or so to fix it. So I found myself with a Saturday wide open while we were away, and it hit me all of a sudden. I'm like, oh, shit, today's freaking Halloween. And not that, like, hey, I need to go buy a costume and go trick-or-treating, right, because I'm 40, and that's not a thing. But it was like... Mando came out yesterday. Oh my God. So here I am. I pop it up on my phone and I prop my phone up on the elliptical machine down in the gym, and I'm freaking getting after it on the elliptical machine watching Mando, and I'm talking like throughout the whole episode, right? And these other dudes are coming in and out of the gym, like kind of looking at me like I'm crazy, because I'm like, oh, this motherfucker, you know, like, oh, and like, bitch just got swallowed by a dragon.
Right.
Like, oh, blah, you know what I mean? Like, it was, But no, it kind of reminded me, and then just keeping up with it since was freaking awesome. Marcus came home from school today and like busted in the door, was throwing his shit around. I'm like, dude, what? He's like, I have not touched my phone all day. I have watched no spoilers. We're watching this now. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we sat down. So can we hop back to episode two for just a second? I know today was a big, and you may have already talked about this, but can we laugh at the fact that people got legitimately upset about Yoda eating the eggs?
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I laughed my tits off for a good 10 minutes reading that article. That was the funniest thing. And then the director was like, yeah, they're just eggs. Calm down. Yeah. And then here's Baby Yoda in episode 3 watching this egg hatch.
Yep.
I legit thought for a second there when, like, you know, they're playing with that little, the hatchling in the bowl at the end. Like, he was going to grab that thing and just shove it in his mouth.
Nah, see, I was like,
oh, shit, he's going to eat the baby.
See, I actually thought the opposite. I actually saw, believe it or not, character development for the Baby Yoda. Because he actually got to see one of them hatch. And then he got to interact with it. And so I thought that was cool, because then he was upset when they left, because it was another kid. It was another creepy looking alien like him that he felt comfortable with, you know? So for me, it was like, I think it's almost him realizing that, okay, it's not normal for me to be with this crazy looking metal dude in the middle of space in a ship that can barely take off. Not to mention the fact that when the ship went to go land, it then quickly veered off and fell into the water. Oh, dude, I laughed my tits off at that. That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. He's like, we got it. Splash. And the dude that's sitting on the dock, he just shakes his head.
Motherfuckers. Oh, my God.
So I've made a mention every time, I've even in the gym, the sketch art at the end.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This season has been phenomenal. I don't know who's doing the sketch art during the credits, but there has been this season, more so than all of last season, it was like there's four images that I want.
You realize,
like, I want those freaking images.
It's not like fan art. Those are concept pieces.
Concept sketch. Yeah. No. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm totally aware of that. Like but I want that picture, that image. I want that shit framed. Mm. I don't want to hang that shit up and walk because it's just fucking. It's so wonderful. Like, it's awesome. It's so well done. So yeah, I love that they're using it in the credits.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, there's one character I wanted to see come back because I think she's really cool and I think she has a backstory that could definitely be played. Excuse me. Played with is the blacksmith. She's the chick with the hammers who makes the armor.
Oh,
she's from season one.
Well, so she had a cameo in the, you know, like how they do that little, in the last episode, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like they do like a recap of what's happened.
Yeah.
She had a cameo this episode.
Yeah.
Well, that came today.
It was just a recap.
Well, right. But I'm saying, like, if she's done, they're probably not going to go back to that.
Right.
Because there was nothing significant about what she said. It was just him and her.
Right.
And like something small. Right. So I think we're going to see her again.
Well, but the cool thing is she had mentioned about taking his helmet off. So then furthering that that religious zealot movement of never taking your helmet off. So but even so, if you look at her, she's cool. I mean, one, she can handle herself. And two, she makes freaking Mandalorian armor. I mean, either one of those things is awesome. But one thing that I hope that they mention, or hope that it's brought up in some way, is there is a floating theory that her helmet is a key to what generation she's from. Now, in the Clone Wars, Darth Maul, who was supposed to be a dead Sith, who then took over Mandalore for a while, who had the Darksaber for a while, there is theory that she was a part of that group that aided him in that because she has the horns on her helmet.
Oh shit. Yeah, yeah.
Which would be a really cool way to do awesome flashbacks with a live action Darth Maul. Especially at this point because he got cut in half. He fashioned robot legs for himself, so he's like half fucking cyborg. So I mean, that'd be pretty sweet.
But he'd be looking like Akavula from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Do you remember that?
Oh, jeez.
He was
played by Wachowski. Fuck, what's the guy? What's the actor's name?
Oh, no. He was in Of Mice and Men. He was in Red and Red. John.
Yeah, it's a long fucking last name.
Bitch, I can't believe.
He was the main bad guy in Con Air.
Yes.
Anyways, that's my nerding out for the day. You have no idea how long I've been holding that in, like all day.
John Malkovich.
Yeah, Wachowski, it's Malkovich, John. Same thing.
No, Mike Wazowski. It's all this. Son of a bitch. Yeah, no, oh, man, it's been a great season so far. I'm so stoked to see where exactly it all goes and all ends up. I'm. Ahsoka's coming next week. She's got to be coming next week.
She doesn't.
And I want Rosario Dawson's playing her. We know that. And I'm stoked because I'm a huge fan of hers anyway. So to see how she brings that character to life is going to be super cool. As long as she doesn't start singing like she did in Rent, you know, and becomes a meth head. And I think we'll be good to go.
No. There's no singing in Star Wars. Fuck's sake. No, there's no singing in Star Wars. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Star Wars the musical.
This is a pretty heavy nerd talk, so we're, maybe we all need to take a quick break. So we'll be back in just a minute.
It's the Warehouse Rats.
And we're back. So I figured it'd be time for me to let you all know to check out sandhillcoffee.com. If you use promo code Warehouse Rats, you'll get 20% off your total order. They are fantastic. I even have a monthly subscription to their coffee. So every month I get 2 bags of coffee from them, and they're awesome. And the coolest thing is Phil is the guy who runs it. He puts little hand, like, and these are legit handwritten notes in my box with my coffee. And every now and again, he'll throw in an extra, like, percentage off my next purchase. And it's so fucking cool. So, Phil, if you're listening, you are the shit. And we will get you back on the podcast because I could listen to you talk about coffee all day. And that's not weird. So,
it's not weird. Not weird. Can we get Phil to make some K-cups, though, too, so I can enjoy some of this wonderful Sandhill coffee? Because I'm a lazy coffee. I love coffee, but I'm a lazy coffee drinker, right? I need to put the little cup in the fucking thing, press a button, and poof, I got a cup of coffee. So, Phil, hook me up with a K-cup, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. There's a K-cup generation out here.
Nah, he's
of lazy coffee drinkers. We love it, but we're lazy.
He's better than that, so.
Oh. he's one of those coffee drinkers.
All right, so
I use the best roasted beans. My beans are better than yours.
So, like I said at the beginning,
like seven bean jokes right there. Goddamn! Can I get a flicking the bean joke? I mean, come on, flick my beans at you.
Wait, I think I have a little dunch. Hang on. There you go. That's all you get. So. Since we are down a host this evening, Cardo, you are missed this evening. Ian, you are the host of the Why Whiskey podcast, and a podcast that I very much enjoy listening to. So let our listeners know if we're having new listeners here and stuff like that. A little bit about your podcast.
So the show is, I tout it as letting you decide whether it's a whiskey show with a history problem or a history show with a whiskey problem. Two things I love very much are whiskey and history, and I try to mix the two. I focus mainly on early American history and the history of our country and booze, because the weird road that our country has traveled over its almost 300 years of existence has almost consistently been intertwined with alcohol in one way or another, and that's fascinated me, which is why the name Why Whiskey came about. And I want to tell stories that have been told by boring old dudes forever in a different way.
Right.
And find these crazy little nuggets, and they're not hard to find. And that's one of the coolest things about I've seen in the show while doing research for this show, that these stories that were told, throughout our entire lives is, history of our country and blah, blah, blah. They miss these amazing, funny, funky little nuggets of gold that they just don't tell you. And they're not hard. They're right there to find. And my joy has been to share those and having guests on and, using their energy and their knowledge to kind of feed off of and to go and to grow and to dig more so into some of these topics. We've covered drugs, the use of drugs, and in the war on drugs. We've done the Salem witch trials.
You talking about with booze and bourbon?
Oh yes, with Kim and Jen. That show was so they're awesome. I love them so much. They're great.
I recently listened to that one, and just hearing you three kind of going back and forth as a third party listener, you could hear, like, I don't want to say camaraderie, but like there definitely was like this very natural
back and forth between all three of you, whether it being about whiskey or about history. And there was just, and the coolest thing that I took away from all that was not just your guys' level of knowledge, but your appreciation for questions, where whether it was you asking a question, especially history related, or them kind of like asking you a question and stuff like that, there wasn't a judgment of, well, that's a stupid question, you know. I mean, you know, so the fact that there was this natural, hey, we all really love these two topics, we're gonna talk about them, and it's gonna be cool. And so I just thought that was awesome in that episode.
And most people are like that. Once you get somebody going and somewhere, and building the comfort level is what's I have found to be the most important thing. You know, you got to get people comfortable to where they're not being inhibited to share what they know, right? And most people are pretty secure in their knowledge, but when they go to share that knowledge, they get a little shy and a little concerned, and making just a total area of comfort and relaxation to, and I find that's where the whiskey helps. Anybody listening, if you would like to join me at the Bar of Questionable Life Choices for an episode of Why Whiskey, I am glad to have you. I will send you whiskey so we can drink whiskey together if you don't have any, and we'll do a whiskey tasting and talk history at the same time. And that's the whiskey helps loosen up the conversation a little bit, but it also, you know, being open. And that's one of the coolest things I think about history that we're getting lost is rigidity in history. Like, this is the story. This is the story, period. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. There's more to it. This is the story according to this person. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are there different versions of the story? Let's read all of the versions of the story, because the truth is somewhere in the middle of all of them, right? Mm-hmm. And then if we get stuck on that bias, like that, you know, we get into that groove, that one person style of information, we totally lose sight of we ingrain ourselves with biases that we don't even know that we're doing. You know, I just finished Alexis Coe's book, You Never Forget Your First, which is atypical, right? That's not typical, right? That's the term for not typical. It is not a typical biography about George Washington. It puts out all of his goddamn dirty laundry, all of it, right? The dude is a human. He made some really bad fucking choices,
right?
And made some really shitty decisions, like you and I do. You know what I mean? Right. It takes him from so she tells the story of Washington, and she puts out like everything out there. You know, he's glorified in so many things, and he made a lot of great decisions and did a lot of phenomenal things, and he, you know, he's the first president. He was the leader of the army during the revolution. And we kind of get lost in those hooray moments. And we forget that he was, in fact, a slave owner. And he was, you know, a little bit of a chauvinist. And he made some really bad calls. And before he led, you know, America during the revolution, he was a British officer. And he sucked. He got his ass kicked every time he went out to fight somewhere. Like, literally every time. So he was not some sort of like hero soldier. He was not good. He was very personable, you know, and she tells that story. But that is it brings balance. There's this great balance that comes from that. And that's one of the cool things that the different people bring to, you know, bring to the table. They bring to the bar. They have the information that they were taught, and then things that they love that they have taking the time to go and find out, you know, other parts of that story, and getting people to come together and to share the stories and to talk about, you know, the history and stuff like that. You know, Austin Jackson, he fucking loves drugs. And he doesn't do drugs. He just, I think when he retires from his current profession, he will probably do more than I will, but you know what I mean? Yeah. but his passion is, you know, and he knows the history of goddamn psychedelics and all kinds of crazy stuff and their part and what they've played in American history as well, which is pretty cool. So yeah, man, that's the show, and it's the people make the make it all better. The episodes I hate the most are when it's just me freaking talking into a microphone. You know, I want people here in the studio, and I want people, you know, to share with and talk about stupid, you know, stories that are just silly and shenanigans and stuff. So
not only do you do the Why Whiskey show, you actually have another podcast that you do that is a that is the fuck Buffalo Trace is it? Hang on.
It's the Buffalo Trace. I forgot my brain. Yeah, no, it's the
Monkey Morning Show. Yeah. There.
Yeah.
So, one of the things you do in that show is you do the random question generator, which honestly always tickles me pink because you have some questions that you can answer real quick and then you can just move on. But then you have some questions where you sit on these single questions for like 20 plus minutes. And it's so cool. So tonight on the Warehouse Rats podcast, we're going to do this random question generator. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. So there's rules though, right? So rule number one is don't overthink the question. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the biggest things. People are like, oh my God. One of the questions that we ask is that we've asked in the past is, you know, what is one truth about yourself that you wish you knew? And people go off the deep end into like this philosophical pool of craziness. And they get mad at me because like, what kind of question is that? And I'm like, man, for me, it's like, what do I look like from behind? You know what I mean? Because like, you never get to see what you look like from behind ever. So like, what do I look like when I'm walking away from somebody?
I mean, but even that could open up like a whole philosophical like pool.
Well, any question could. Yeah. Like, why is why?
Whoa.
Oh, seven layers of Kevin Bacon. Right there,
anyway,
that's a recipe for bean dip or something. All right. So, yeah, so don't overthink it. And then you have to answer the question, right? So you can't pass.
That's fair.
You have to answer the question.
Okay.
And feelings are whatever. So we don't worry about them. We just answer the question.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
So here we go. Question number one, or eight, if you're following along in hyperspace. Here we go. What small change greatly improves a person's appearance?
I guess, I'm overthinking it already.
See, there you go.
Confidence.
Oh, that's a good one.
Simply walking with your face upwards changes everything. Granted, I usually walk with my head looking down because I think my feet are awesome, but I mean, whatever.
You do have surprisingly beautiful ankles.
Have you seen my ankles? Shit.
I have seen them. They're
there's gorgeous. A reason why I don't wear shorts.
Well, that's because you glow in the dark because you're Irish.
That's racist.
All right. All right. So for me, I got so wrapped around your answer, I kind of lost my mind. So what greatly improves a person's appearance? Like their face, right? So like makeup, no makeup, whatever, as long as their face is like clean, right? You know what I mean? Like they've got like a like kind of like a clean face.
Hmm.
So
how do you tell when somebody's face is dirty?
Well, that's usually pretty apparent. There's like shit on them, right? So like there's like the big bags under their eyes, and you tell like they just rolled out of bed, they didn't actually like wash their face and take some time and freaking get ready to go. And then another thing that greatly improves appearance is I have to say hair. Like for those of us that have hair,
there you go. That's
actually like,
there you go.
Like do something, you know, something with it. And, I don't know. Hair is a fun thing for me because, you know, whether it's up in a messy ponytail or if it's freaking, you know, it's whatever, it's like clean cut, you know, you see these you know, the dudes, the soldiers in their fucking beautiful dress uniforms. They're just disgustingly tailored haircuts that are phenomenal. But yeah, no, I think that would be it for me. So
I got you.
Yeah, that's one of those like weird ones where it's a simple question, but man, the answers, you got to like kind of get into what it is. So let's move right into the second question.
Okay.
This is going to be a great one for the two of us because what is the best thing you got from your parents?
Oh, shit.
Don't fuck this up. They're listening.
Yeah, right. Disclaimer.
Mom, shut this off right now.
Disclaimer, if you didn't know beforehand, Ian and I are, in fact, brothers. In fact, it feels weird calling him Ian simply because I grew up my entire life calling him Tigger. Ian is the name of my son. So when I say that, I'm thinking, you know, anyway, focus. Shit. Okay. So I can think about, you know, I got this one. Our father has the ability to listen to anyone. Somebody will come up to him and start talking and he will engage and be a part of this conversation and just kind of go and go and go and stuff like that. And then he'll move on. And I can even remember as a kid being like, okay, who was that? And he'd be like, I don't know who that was. And you just kind of move on. I think I've gotten that from him. Shit. Granted, it's mostly just homeless people trying to get my money. But they'll sit there and they'll tell me their sob stories. And I'll just go, yeah. And I'll just sit there and I'll listen. Like, my work in particular, their particular delivery drivers or pickups or whatever, who for some reason tell me these things that it's like, okay, did I ask a question that that needed to give me your life story? But I mean, hey, cool, man, just kind of keep going. And I'll just stand there and let them talk. And then it's like, oh, cool story, bro. And you know, then we'll move on. So I mean, so I think I don't know how
passionate listening is that what we
I don't know how you would call that. I mean, if you want to call it that, and yeah, that seems a little weird, but sure, let's call it that.
Empathy, I guess, would almost be the word for it. I guess, you know, like, but your
empathy you're for randomness.
Well, empathy for, like, I don't know. You give a shit about the person, even though you don't know them, and you listen to their story. Like, I love listening to people's stories too, and that's probably along those same lines. That, you know, a similar trait that we've adopted from dad. A love of musical theater that came from mom. I know dad did the theater thing too, but my absolute adoration for all things stage and music came from mom. And that way, I think that's probably one of the best gifts, was being immersed in Broadway and something that I have held on to dearly throughout my, you know, childhood and adult years. So a love for musical theater. Mm. Yeah. Right on. All right. Here we go. Next question. What is something you like to do the old-fashioned way? My taxes with paper and a pencil.
Oh, fuck that
mess. Just kidding. That's not a thing. That's not real.
The old-fashioned way. See, I've had some people call me an old soul.
Well, you do look like you're 60.
Yeah, well, shit. Oh, fuck. I didn't get carded when I bought alcohol the other day, and they even said, well, because I can't see your face, I kind of took the cue from the no hair type thing, and I wanted to be like, you motherfucker. Like, anyway, fuck, the old fashioned way. Right?
No, it's not. That doesn't apply there.
No, yeah, I think so. shit. Okay. And this may be weird, but maybe, and it's maybe more because of how this year has gone, movies. I love going to the movies, and granted, I can't afford it because it costs an arm and a leg to go to the movies. Especially with what's going on right now, Michigan, within the past like 2 months, just maybe not even that, just reopened their movie theaters. And with how things are going in Michigan, they're probably going to close them soon. There is something about seeing new movies in theaters that, I can't get enough of. And I think back to when movies first were a big thing, and even silent movies, people still flocked to go see them. So there's something about seeing a movie in a movie theater that I don't think will ever die. Granted, yes, streaming has become a big thing. I don't think movie theaters are going anywhere. Chances are the easily availability for them in some areas might start to go away, just because of how things are. But I think after things kind of normal out, that more movie theaters will come back. There is something about going to a movie, getting a bucket of popcorn, and enjoying a movie on a giant screen depending on what kind of movie theater you go to, in an uncomfortable chair and getting lost in a movie. I think that's my thing.
Oh yeah. Wait, Jill and I were just talking about this. Jill's my wife, for those who don't know. We were talking about this because her and I have gone on regular movie dates pre-COVID, right? And we always have the strangest adventures. We went and saw The Greatest Showman during a blizzard. We were the only two people in the theater. That was awesome. And crazy stupid. Like that drive was terrifying. I got molested by a pregnant lady when we went and saw The Heat. She was really excited about the movie. And so no shit. Like, here we are. We're in the middle of the top row in the back because, you know, my wife and I are still like, you know, 18 at heart. So like, we got to go to the movies and we make out a little bit. And it happens, right? Mm-hmm. So here we are. And then all of a sudden this group of folks comes up and they sit directly fucking next to us. There are rows of seats wide open, rows of seats wide open. So you know what? These are the same people, right? So when I park my car a space apart from somebody, because there's lots of spaces, they're the assholes that park their car right between those two spaces. So many spaces available. Anyway, so this wonderful pregnant woman comes and sits next to me. I'm going to assume she's wonderful because I really don't know her. And the movie is hilarious. And she starts having a dialogue with the movie.
Oh, shit.
Right? Yeah, no. She's like talking to the movie. She's like, oh, bitch, you see that shit? Like, bah! Like, you know, I'm like, shut up and watch it. And anyway, so she's like, throughout the movie, she's super pregnant. And she's like rubbing her legs. Well, at some point, she stops rubbing her legs and she reaches over, she starts like rubbing my legs, and I'm looking over at Jill. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I don't want to hit a pregnant lady, but I might. Like, this is so, I'm so uncomfortable right now. Oh my God.
Oh shit.
And Jill's just over there laughing her tits off. And I'm like, this is not funny. So, but yeah, we love movies. Like, that's our thing. We love the date night is so much fun when we go to movies and stuff. But I'm with you. So old fashioned for me. I like to go for walks. You know, like, people don't do that very often anymore. Like, just a walk. Hey, let's go for a walk. And you know, you just go outside. And you know, it's not a hike. It's not a trip. It's not an excursion. It's not a freaking, we're not going anywhere. We're just gonna go out and we're gonna go walk around somewhere, you know. Like, I really enjoy going for walks still, you know. Grab the dog and the wife and just go out and freaking enjoy some time outside with no agenda, and just usually walk in a circle somewhere, big circle or weird shaped circle depending upon where you live. But right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my thing. So, but yeah, when I'm not getting molested by pregnant ladies in the theater, I'm with you on the movie. All right, so this is a good one. Okay. All right, so you kind of got to disassociate for this question. You ready for this one?
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yep. You got to disassociate a little bit.
Disassociate.
How long will you be remembered after you die?
Oh. I'm going to assume forever. Mostly because of my paintings. And I will explain. fuck. Oh, damn, this was a while ago. The first time I ever tried to sell any of my paintings was in Battle Creek, Michigan. There's a, it's not a museum and it's not an art gallery, but it's kind of like a mix between the two. They have this kind of, they call it a garage sale where local artists can come and sell their stuff. And so that afternoon, which really pissed me off now in retrospect, I had offered to do the photos for my wife's friend's wedding while I was trying to sell paintings at this garage sale, they called it. There's two people that bought my paintings, two, honestly, of my favorite paintings. One of them was probably at the time was one of the biggest paintings I have done. And in the style I did it, he came into it. And he's like, honestly, he's like, this feels like New Year's. He's like, honestly, when I see this, I think New Year's confetti. He's like, that's what I think of it. He's like, and it makes me happy. And he's like, and I told him, I'm like, well, this is what I'm selling it for. He's like, this is what I have in my wallet. And it was, and honestly, it was close to what I was trying to sell for. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So he took it, and the other painting I sold that same day was this lady who stopped and was staring at one of my paintings, and funny enough, she came up, she's like, I'm not gonna lie, that painting would go in every single room of my house. And I was like, okay, cool story. And she's like, okay, I'll come back. And so
it was a portrait of Satan. Right? Weird,
so she came back and like half hour later, and she's like, you know what? She's like, after I saw that, she's like, I couldn't get out of my head. And I ended up selling her the painting. And so the fact that I have things that I have created out there somewhere. That's there. Yeah. I assume after I die, somebody's gonna discover them and be like, oh, he's the next fucking Van Gogh, blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, he's already dead, doesn't matter. And so yeah. I'm gonna be remembered forever. I'm like Bob Ross without the hair.
Let me get some happy trees. These trees are green and they're smoking some shit, but that's okay. Yeah, man. Oh, so this question immediately brings up, there's a Macklemore has a line in one of his songs where you die twice. You die, the first time when they put you in the grave, and the second time was the last time someone says your name.
Mm.
Right. So that analogy has always kind of stuck with me. It's like, man, that's there because there's going to be a point where somebody says your name for the last time and they don't say your name anymore. And that's crazy to think about, right? But it's a reality of life. So or death, I guess it'd be a reality of death. But I would like to believe I'm going to be remembered as long as an adventurous spirit exists within my family.
Hmm.
I think when the adventure fades, that so will my legacy, because the one thing I've always tried to do is impart that, the adventurous freaking let's go do something stupid. Are we going to die? Probably, but fuck, let's go. There's kids have asked me that a couple times on some of the hikes we've gone on. And little did they know that it was an actual reality of that happening. But
you say that, and I think of a hike you and I took in Alaska. We did.
That was so fucking trippy.
It wasn't flat top, but it was the hike that you, me, and Dad took.
It was the ramp.
Yep. and we were climbing up and Dad was waiting somewhere else. And then we got to the top and then it was like a 3-foot ledge top. And then it was like a fucking 300-foot drop into a valley and mountain range and as far as the eye could see. And it's like, holy shit, I just peed a little. And it's just, yeah. That's
we came through the cloud right at the edge because we remember we were hiking up. We walked into the clouds and then right at the edge, we came out of them and it was instantaneous. We were never in danger of stepping off the ledge because you could kind of see it. But it was one of those moments where like you put your fingers around the edge and then you lift your head up and you're like, oh, shit.
You realized how high you were.
900 feet right there. Yeah.
Oh man!
I remember that, man. That was a fucking great day. And those giant fucking hoary marmots. You remember those marmots?
Oh yeah.
Goddamn, they were the size of dogs. Right? I wasn't worried about the bears. I was worried about the marmots.
They were like,
I thought they were gonna kill us.
They were like beavers without the teeth.
No, they had the teeth. They didn't have the tails though.
Oh right. I got thinking of something else. Never mind.
Weird abstract land beavers. That's what we'll call them.
Aren't beavers already?
All right, here we go.
Landlocked. But
landlocked beavers. Yeah,
that's not a thing. Beavers. Whatever.
They're dry beavers. Yeah, stop saying beaver. All right, here we go. They were pretty fuzzy beavers, though. I wanted to pet them.
Nope. Moving on.
Hiking with a really big pistol too, if I remember right. I got from Kenny because we were worried about bears.
Okay. A pistol is what you think of like a 9mm. A Desert Eagle isn't a pistol. That's a fucking hand cannon.
Yeah. Yeah. It was big.
That's what she said.
But they were big beavers.
Oh no.
Wait, that's what she said? No. I got a hand cannon for you.
Moving on.
Moving on. All right, here. Next question. okay, so do business owners this is going to get deep. Do business owners have the right to refuse service to customers?
Yes.
Short answer.
Yes.
Long answer.
If yes, if it is in, if it follows already in place laws, I guess if you can say that, as an example for, especially with how shit's going sideways right now, the masks stuff. Some places aren't allowing people to come in without masks, and these people are freaking out. And of course, people are getting it on video and stuff like that. So, can they refuse? Fuck, I said the question again. I'm totally.
Do businesses have the right to refuse service to customers?
Yeah. If the circumstance allows it. Yes.
Okay. The circumstance, that's a very broad, answer, right?
Yeah, because I think, because think about it, like at least when I think about it, like growing up, whenever you walked into a store, there was always the little sign on the door that says no shirt, no shoes, no whatever, no service. At least with how fuck today is, no mask, that's how it is. But then people throw fits and stuff like that. And it's another one of those things. Hey, if you know, have a mask on. If you don't have pants on, then obviously you're not going to get service, you know?
Whoa. I'm a nudist, so I have the right to not wear pants. And you must serve me.
And I'm American. No. And I refuse to...
It doesn't work like that. So, right. Like, I feel as though private businesses have the right to refuse service to whoever they feel like. You know what I mean? Like, right. And that, like, we think back to the whole cake thing in Colorado, right, where the there was this business, this cake making business, this couple, this homosexual couple came in and asked them to make a wedding cake. And the business said, congratulations, but no, we're this type of organization, so we're not going to support your wedding cake. And then they went to they went to courts, like it went through the Supreme Court, I think went to the Supreme Court. And then eventually the Supreme Court said, yeah, no, that's a private business. They have the right to refuse service to anybody. After this poor bastard got his fucking name drug through the mud, you know, and all they had to do was go to some other cake maker. Right. So that's the extreme part of that. Right. So but I do believe it's if it's a private business and there is no government funding for that business whatsoever, like this mom and pop cake shop, let's mom and pop a whiskey store. Right. Let's call it a liquor store. All right. Because that's near and dear to my heart. It makes me happy. So I start a liquor store. Right. And I've got these shitheads coming in. That are, you know, asking for special order stuff all the time. They're like, no, dude, get out. Like, go away. I have the right to refuse them service. Like, go away. Like, hey, no. This is my business. I started this. I put up the capital. I did all the licensing, all that shit on my own. I'm not receiving any sort of government subsidy. I'm not a part of the government. I'm just Ian's liquor. So, yes, you may come in and buy liquor from me. You are a dick. Go away. You know what I mean?
No, and no, like, but with stuff like that, it seems like it should be that simple. You say it, and it's like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But then there are people who are like, well, that's stupid, and that's against my rights as a human being, and that's not how I identify, and bullshit like that. And it's like, okay, you're missing the point. And like, and especially with like the masks and stuff like that. And I dare not get into the whole discussion of whether COVID's a real thing or not and blah, blah, blah and stuff like that.
But COVID's not real?
Something like that.
Did I miss something?
Right. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. April Fool's. The longest running April Fool's joke. No.
Kind of like the election day, 19.
Hey. But no, like,
anyway, talking about businesses. Go
right.
On.
It should be that simple because these people are providing a service. They are providing products and stuff like that. And they have certain guidelines that they want to give those to you. Like, they don't want you coming into their store buck naked, because guess what? That's bad for business. I mean, you know, it's as simple as that. Unless you're a strip club, sure, but if you're a grocery store, somebody coming in butt naked,
you can't walk into a strip club naked. I may have tried that once or twice. Like I said, Key West was a weird time for me, but
But
you
even
can't walk into a strip club naked. Just right. Put that out there.
But even so, there's an expectation of how business should go.
Yes.
Now, obviously, if they're refusing service based off of things that are, I'm trying to figure out how to say this.
Morality based.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's when it starts to get gray, because that's more on individuals than a business in general. For me personally, if I had a business that had a mask issue and somebody came in and say, hey, yes, you hold the right to not wear a mask. However, I also hold the right of being a business owner to not allow you to shop here. Yes. Because you are not following something that I think you should follow. Hands down.
Same lines. You know what I mean? It's a private business. It's your business. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. Like, you don't want to adapt to the rules of that business. Well, then you can go shop somewhere else.
Right.
There's plenty in this day and age. There are plenty of stores. There are plenty of locations. You can go wherever the fuck you want to and shop somewhere else. So just go shop somewhere else. Don't burn the place down, for Christ's sake, because they told you to put your fucking mask on. You know what I mean? Right. Just go to a different store. Because you can find a different store. Like, shit, we were in Texas, and there was a plethora of stores that had put your fucking mask on, and then the government said put your mask on, but we are Texas, so it's up to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry for the accent. That was terrible. That's really wonderful legit, people in Texas. Yeah, no, it was super cool. But no, there was that distinct difference. So if I go into this place and they tell me to put my mask on, I don't like it, I'm just going to go over to freaking this other store over here that says, we don't care, wear one, don't wear one, come on in, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can find those. And it's, you know, people get so wrapped around the axle about being told no, that becomes the issue, mm-hmm. right? You can go buy a pack of gum at Bob's grocery store just as easily as you can Joe's grocery store, right? But the fact that Joe told you no because you didn't put your fucking mask on, you get all mad and start a fucking GoFundMe page to burn his house down. You know what I mean? Like, goddamn, just fucking stop. Go to the other grocery store. There's 19 Starbucks. Go to a different Starbucks. Fuck. Come on, man. God.
I think what drives me crazy is, I can't even, the simplicity of being able to choose to go somewhere else.
Right.
But being told no at one place makes you throw a fit. It blows my mind. Yes. It's like, here, if I went into a shop in one, not even mask-wise, if I was wearing a shirt they didn't like, they said, hey, we're not going to service you because you're wearing a shirt that goes against our morals, I'd be like, okay, cool story. I would walk out and go somewhere else. And I think we're stuck in a fucking age of going viral to where if I make a big enough fuss, I'll go viral. Whether it's good or bad, I'll still go viral and it'll pay out one way or another.
Hey, Joey, hold my phone and record me while I bitch this guy out for wearing a mask.
Right?
That's the fucking problem. Like, yeah, stop. Stop trying to gain notoriety because somebody told you no and it hurt your feelings.
Right.
Bitch, go have hurt feelings at some other store. Like, just fucking stop. God damn it. I'm with you, man. But yeah, same thing.
All right.
Same.
Let's
find a different store. All right, here we go.
One more question, and then we'll wrap it up.
What? One more? Okay, here we go.
Yeah, one more.
This is going to be a good one. Kind of along those same lines.
Oh, shit.
What have you only recently formed an opinion about?
Oh, jeez.
Global pandemics. Fucking bullshit.
China bats make everybody sick. No. Fuck. No, that's not a thing. shit.
Oh, dear God. Why is the whiskey gone?
No, honestly, like, within recent times, is the one thing I've grown opinion about is, and this is weird, especially with the today's day and age, is you either love Star Wars or you don't. Because I have heard so many people say, oh, I'm diehard Star Wars fan, but then bitch so hard about the newest Star Wars movies. And it's like, here's the thing. Me?
Whoa,
yes.
Whoa. I feel personally attacked here.
No, man.
Fuck up.
No, we're good. But like, for me, yes, are there certain things I would have done differently or I would have liked to have seen other stories? Sure. Of course, but at the same time, I'm not going to boycott what they gave me because I am a legit Star Wars lover, if you could say that. Anything Star Wars, I eat up. And you know, there's comic books, there's all kinds of stuff. Like, there was a comic book that was released that was based on the original screenplay that George Lucas had for Star Wars. And it was completely different than what we know now. Still awesome. I read through it once, but I still have it. And it's so cool because I have it. But anything that comes out that's Star Wars, that expands that already known universe, I get so excited about. And I'm ready to eat up anything they're willing to throw at me because I'm that excited about it. And so, the answer is Star Wars. Everything is Star Wars. All right. Fuck everything else.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, right? So I am also a Star Wars fan. I don't get into the weeds of the Rebels and, you know, the Disney's animated canon stories. I haven't gotten involved in those emotionally, right? But I've been super emotionally involved in, you know, the prequels and, you know, the sequels and the nine, right? The original nine series. Mm-hmm. And the two interludes, right? Mm-hmm. So Rogue One and Solo. Those movies have all earned a place in my heart. And my only beef with the new fucking movies was in fucking episode 8 when they pulled out the goddamn Mickey Mouse ears and the little kid forced the fucking broom into his hand and stood there. No, I know you disagree with this, right? No, that they put some Mickey Mouse ears on that kid, a little freaking pencil hat, and he's in fucking Orlando. I was so pissed with that at that moment. Everything else about that movie was great. That last 30 seconds, I was just like, oh, fuck you, Disney. I was so mad. Anyway, but moving on. So if I'm answering this question, I have recently formed an opinion about social media. And I think it's terrible. Mm. I think it's awful. I think it has become a place of, you know, there are defensive structures, whether you're on this side or this side. You get put into echo chambers. Nothing is true. It's kind of like whose line is it anyway? Where the points are made up and the points don't matter,
don't
right?
Matter.
Right, where everything's fake and nobody's opinion matters.
Right,
but everybody screams about it anyway. Like social media has become a very hard thing for me to manage. Hmm. So I've really kind of limited myself and backed off. Some of the platforms that I think are disgustingly detrimental to the health of the folks that are on them. I joke with Facebook every once in a while. I walked away from Facebook a few months ago, and I'll poke my head in every I don't know, about 4 or 6 weeks or so, and take a quick look and be like, "Oop, still shitty." <I'm out." laughs> You know, just because it's become this terrible space for people to just be angry all the time. Mm. There's so much anger. Everybody's angry. Why? There's no need to be so angry. Just let's stop. Stop being angry, you know? Let's bounce away from the from that bullshit. But yeah, that would be my I have recently formed an opinion about social media specific platforms. Mm. That are super bad for our well-being, I think, as a culture. Mm. So, but that's mine. I got one more for you though.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And you have to answer this. So,
oh, no.
What do you believe is the weirdest country?
Fuck. Okay. So, lack of my knowledge of other countries. The only one, because I think it's my lack of knowledge of knowing anything about it, no fake, would have to be Bangladesh. Because
I feel like you're saying that just because the name's weird.
No, because because of my job, it pops up every now and again, and that's all I know is that they got this and that. And it's Bangladesh. Chances are, more times than not, it's because of something that's pissed me off this way or that. And it's like, fucking Bangladesh. And, you know, it's, fuck, they're weird.
How the fuck do you have tigers and make medical supplies? How does that happen?
Like, right?
What the
fuck? It's like, okay, you have to worry about, like, animals eating you, but you're really worried about fighting cancer? Sure. That makes sense. I think you need to invest in a better fence.
Shoot that tiger if he comes across the fence. So mine's got to be New Zealand, man, because New Zealand is this bizarre place. Like, I feel like it's a bunch of displaced Australians and Pacific Islanders who live on this island that contains every single ecosystem on the fucking planet, right? You've got snow-capped mountains. You've got jungles with weird things that can kill you. And you've got everything in between. They filmed J.R.R. Tolkien's movies there, right? Lord of the Rings,
like,
got filmed there.
All of
his, his imagination was insane. Watch the movies. They're fucking nuts. And the place they found to match that nuts?
New Zealand.
It is the strangest place to what's going on there? Like, somebody, I just need somebody to tell me. So, but anyway, but yeah, that was a question that had popped up earlier that actually Josh and I had a chance to chat about for a brief second that was, I think was definitely worth sharing with y'all. But yeah, that's there it is for the random question generator.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's it for us tonight. So again, we are minus Ricardo this evening, which is a bummer.
We miss you, buddy.
We miss Ricardo. So come back next week, Ricardo, because I know you should be able to next week. But fuck. Oh, Buffalo Trace, you're amazing. So Ricardo, we miss you. Ian, thank you so much for guest hosting tonight. This has been a blast.
Oh, loved every second of it. This is awesome. I always enjoy hanging out with you guys and getting to spend time with you all. So thank you. It was an honor to be able to come and spend time.
All right. So don't forget, you can find more of Ian at Why Whiskey or the Monkey Morning Show. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'm at both those places.
Fuck. I thought I was going to get it wrong again. So yeah. So you can find.
No, you got it. You're doing good.
Good. So you can find him at either of those areas. Don't forget, Warehouse Rats. We're around. We're still working on the Nerd Corner with Josh stream. Due to adulting, that's become a little bit difficult, but we're still working on it. Don't forget.
Adulting sucks.
Yes, adulting does suck. God bless it.
It sucks so bad.
Don't forget.
Just consult your local dungeon master and you should be good.
Yeah. Dungeon masters make everything easier. Anyway, moving on. Because I don't think that.
Fuck you, Buffalo Trace.
Fuck you, Buffalo Trace. Why are you so delicious? Fuck. Anyway, this has been the Warehouse Rats podcast, episode 18. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to check out where. Oh, no, fuck. I messed it up again. Warehouse Rats podcast. That's us that you're listening to right now.
That's you. Yeah.
That's us. So don't forget Sandhill Coffee. 20% off when you use promo code Warehouse Rats.
K cups, Phil.
No.
Give me
Phil,
K-cups.
Don't listen to him.
Phil, keep give
doing,
me K-cups.
Keep doing what you're doing, Phil. Don't listen. Anyways, so we'll see you next week, folks. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.